We learned Erev and Daf Mem. Hey, the Daf starts called Yotzin Lahatzil Chozin L'Makom. And the Mishnah had said that anyone who goes out for a rescue mission is allowed to go back on Shabbos, even though they're way beyond their Tchum Shabbos. So the Gemara was bothered. How come the Mishnah says that they can go back no matter how far out they are? It sounds like way more than 2,000 Amos. But the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that we only allow a person who went to testify about the new moon or who went out Lahatzil on a rescue mission to go back 2,000 amos, but not more than 2,000 amos. So the Gemara gives two answers. Number one, Rav Yehuda Rav explains, our Mishnah must also only allow people to go back 2,000 amos, when the Mishnah says that they could go back, that it means that they could even bring their weapons back, but it's still limited to 2,000 amos. Second answer is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, our Mishnah speaks about a case where the Jewish people lost the war that they went out to fight, and it may be dangerous to stay within 2,000 amos, so they can go all the way back. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, so met a case where they won the war, and therefore there's no need to go beyond 2,000 amos, so that's why they're limited. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara tells us that if non-Jews attack a city on Shabbos purely for monetary interests, Jewish people may not carry their weapons to defend their money unless it's a border town, because a border town is always considered to be dangerous, and therefore they're allowed to defend it even on Shabbos. Rabbi Destoye Demin Biri proved this point from the fact that when David HaMelech was attacked by the Plishtim for monetary reasons, he assumed that it's mutter to defend the border town on Shabbos, and he only asked the Urim V'Tumim, not whether he should go out and do it or not, but whether he would be successful, whether he would be matzliach in the Milchama. Then the next Mishnah tells us, Misha Yashar B'Darech V'Amad V'Ra Hareyu Samach Le'ir, person was traveling before Shabbos, didn't realize until Shabbos started that he was actually within 2,000 amos of a city, so Machlokas, whether he can claim that city as his residence and take on the Tchum of that city, that's Rabbi Yudushita, or is he limited to the 2,000 amos from wherever his current location is? That's Rabbi Meir Shita. So Rabbi Yehuda tries to prove that he assumes the tchum of the city from the story where Rabbi Tarfon was in the exact this exact position where he just discovered that he was within 2,000 amos of the city on Shabbos morning, and he spent the entire Shabbos darshaning in the Beis Medrash. So you see that you take on the tchum of the city. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's not a good raya because Shema Belibo Haisa O Beis Medrash Muvla B'Tocha Tchum Haya. It could be Rabbi Tarfon knew about this Beis Medrash and intended that to be a Shabbos residence already from before Shabbos, or it could be that the Beis Medrash was within 2,000 amos of where he was when Shabbos started, so it doesn't prove anything. Next Mishnah tells us in the bottom of Amud Aleph, Misha Yashin B'Derech V'Liyada Shechashecha, traveler was nowhere near a city, was asleep when Shabbos started. Rabbi Yochum Nanuri says he still gets a tchum of 2,000 amos in each direction, even though he was asleep. But the Chum say no, he only gets Dalet amos from his current location. Further machlokas, whether these four amos, how you measure these four amos, whether they're measured with him at the center, that's Rabbi Lozer Shita, or he can choose which direction to take the four amos in, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So, by Rava, Micah Savar Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. Does Rabbi Yochum and Nuri hold that the sleeping person gets 2,000 amos because there's no kavana that's necessary to acquire a tchum, and he would also hold Cheftse Hefker, things that are completely ownerless, can also have a tchum, even though there's nobody that has any kavana to get a tchum for them? Or does he hold that no, Cheftse Hefker don't get a tchum, but a sleeping person is different since he could have had a tchum if he were awake? So Rabbi Yosef proves from Braisa that Rabbi Yochum and Nuri must hold Cheftse Hefker, Konin Shvisa, that Hefker items do get a Tchum Shabbos. The Braisa says that rain that falls before Yontif acquires a Tchum of 2,000 amos. That can't fit with Rabbanan. They won't even give a sleeping person a Tchum, and certainly won't give ownerless objects like rain a Tchum. So that Braisa has to reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yochum and Nuri, and it clearly assumes that Hefker objects do get a Tchum Shabbos, so that's the Raya. Abaya points out that there's a stira between two Braisas, whether Cheftse Hefker have their own Tchum, and that can only be resolved if you assume that the Braisa that holds that they do not get a Tchum follows the Shita of the Rabbanan. The Braisa that holds that they do get a Tchum follows Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. So that also reinforces the idea that Rabbi Yochum and Nuri's Shita must be that Cheftse Hefker get their own Tchum Shabbos. Amar Mar B'Yom Tov HaRein Karagli Kal Adam. So the Braisa says, when it rains on Yontif, that water takes on the tchum of whoever takes the water for themselves. So the Gemara wonders, why would the water not already acquire tchum wherever it was when Shabbos started? Why does it get to be decided by who takes it first? It should be wherever Shabbos started, leaving it outside of its tchum after it rains, and therefore limited to four amos. So the Gemara first thinks to say that the water was in the clouds when Yontif began, and therefore cannot be Kona Shvisa there because it's more than 10 Tvachim off the ground, assuming like that Shita that ain't Tchumen Lamala Me'asara that we discussed on Shabbos, because it's not yet considered or because maybe that it's not yet considered to exist while it's absorbed in the clouds. But the Gemara questions both of those explanations, since if it were considered not to exist before Yantiv, then it should be Muktza as Nolad, something that just comes into existence on Yantiv is completely Muktza. So instead the Gemara answers, Mayim Ba'avim Meina D'naidi, water and clouds are always moving, and therefore it can't be Kona Shvisa, because it never has a moment of rest, it's constantly moving. We can also assume that water that was in the ocean when Shabbos began was also not Kona Shvisa, because ocean water is also constantly moving, Meina D'naidi.